You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Friday, August 24th, 2018, and I am your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. As always, if you like this show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Tonight is the third preseason game for the Jets in 2018. They take on the New York Giants in the annual preseason game between the two teams. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to give you some things that I'm going to look for in this third preseason game. People talk about it. They say traditionally it's the most important of the four preseason games. This is typically the one where you see starters play into the second half. It's something many teams use as the quote-unquote dress rehearsal. They're trying to, many teams try and simulate a regular season game, so they'll game plan going in as though it's a regular season game, which is different from these other preseason games because the other preseason games you're really just focusing on evaluating your own players. A number of teams will actually simulate the work week of a regular season game where you have meetings, you have a game plan to take away the other team's best guys, you have the starters go play the second half so they can simulate warming up after halftime. It's as close as it gets to a real game in the preseason. Now the Jets are do things a little differently. Todd Bowles kind of indicated the Jets don't take it that seriously, but this still is a, by preseason standards, an important game, and that's because of the first thing we're going to watch tonight, and it's the obvious one. It's the thing we've been watching all preseason. It's how does Sam Darnold play, and this is it tonight. I think it's probably fair to say that the starting job is on the line, and based on what Darnold has done in training camp, based on what he's done in the preseason, the job seems like it's his to lose. It really feels like we're trending in the direction of Darnold starting, but he doesn't win the job until the Jets officially hand him the job. And he's got to go out and play efficient football. He's got to go out and play competent football. He has to once again show us that he's not in over his head. And that's been my biggest takeaway, is that he looks like he belongs out there. He doesn't look like he's in over his head. He hasn't so far to this point in preseason. And if that trend continues, I think he's going to be the week one starter. I think that's what the Jets want to do. I've thought this whole time that the Jets wanted him to win this job. And all indications are based on the playing time he's gotten in preseason, based on the distribution of the first team reps, especially as we got late into training camp, some of the comments the team's made, I think that this is his job to lose right now. And I think unless he has just a really ugly first half, where again, he just looks like he's in over his head, I'm talking multiple turnovers, not getting anything going offensively, when I say multiple turnovers, I mean multiple turnovers that are his fault, not because some ball got tipped and got picked off, not because a receiver ran a bad route, turnovers because he got fooled badly. I'm talking that kind of first half. If he avoids that, I think he's going to win the starting job. I think if he goes out and plays competent, credible football, if he lights it up, then forget about it. It's over. It's over if he goes out and plays a spectacular first half. But if he plays a competent first half, I think he wins the starting job. Now, if he doesn't, then I think we start having the discussion about Teddy Bridgewater. Does Bridgewater earn the starting job? And then I think it's a whole different story. But I think right now it's Darnold's to lose. Darnold's job to lose. Next question I have, actually, it kind of pertains to Darnold. Can the Jets get the ball down the field effectively? And they have not really been able to. They did not do that last week when Darnold was in. They did it during the second half when Teddy Bridgewater was in and Washington took its good pass rushers off the field. I think the good thing for Darnold, the good thing for the Jets, is that the team is starting to get a little healthier. So we may see Brian Winters. Did you ever think seeing Brian Winters would be such a good thing? But as shaky as Winters can be, certainly is a cut above Jonathan Harrison and anything else the Jets can put out there in right guard. There were some reports last week that Winters was done for the preseason. Now seems like things might be trending in the direction that he may play. Sounds like Quincy Enunwa may get back on the field for the first time since the end of the 2016 season, because you have to remember he got hurt last year before the first preseason game. He missed all the preseason, he missed all the regular season, and he missed all the first two games of the preseason this year with a different injury. You know, he hurt his neck last year, so he missed that full season. This year he was dealing with a different injury. Sounds like he may get back on the field. And, you know, it's funny for all the, you know, Robbie Anderson seems to be the guy most people are excited about. I actually think Nunwa could be the guy who has the best year out of the Jets wide receivers this year. I think he actually might be the guy who has the best chemistry with Darnold, working the middle of the field, doing some damage after the catch. I think that the offense is kind of built, tailored more around Nunwa's skill set than it is Anderson, so it'll be exciting to get him. It'll be exciting for the Jets to get him back out there. And then Calvin Beecham, the left tackle. And it seems as though, of these guys, he's probably the least likely to play. He's still dealing with whatever, you know, the foot injury that's kept him out since before this preseason game started. I mean, he first appeared in a walking boot, missing practice around the time of that practice at Rutgers University, that green and white practice. It's not clear whether he's going to be back yet, but he at least seems to be trending in the right direction. And it's possible. Todd Bowles indicated it's possible. He said Steve McClendon was the only guy he was definitively ruling out. Now, as much as the Jets would love to have Beecham back out there for such a, you know, I really want to be careful about my language here, because I don't know that I want to say such an important game, but a game that does have some relative importance for Sam Darnold, because the Jets are still trying to figure out for sure who wins the starting job. I mean, I think you'd like to get him out there, but this game does, at the end of the day, this game's not that important that I think you'd rush him back. You know, I think in the preseason, it's always smart to be cautious. And yes, this game does have relative importance for the Jets, because they are kind of in the final stages of determining their starting quarterback. But I'm not sure it's worth it to, you know, potentially risk getting Beecham hurt worse for the start of the regular season, which frankly is many times more important. So we'll see whether the point being here in all of this is, you know, the Jets are going to have get some players back in there who are going to help Darnold out and maybe hopefully open the playbook up a little bit. You know, hopefully you won't be as limited as you were last week. The Jets were really, really limited to plays that got Darnold on the move, play action that slowed down the pass rush, designed quick throws that get the ball out, you know, getting the ball out quickly, going to empty sets so Darnold can make quick pre-snap reads. Can the Jets expand the playbook a little bit with the addition of a couple of these players? The answer is possibly. If these guys are back in the lineup. Next thing to watch, I think, is Terrell Pryor. And I've called him maybe the biggest wild card on the roster, and to this point we've got no answers because he's been recovering from that off-season ankle injury he had. And like with Winters, like with Nunwa, it feels like he's trending toward getting back on the field tonight, which would be good because, again, I'm still not really sure what the Jets have here. I'm not sure whether the Jets have a guy who could conceivably be a contributor. There's evidence both ways. I mean, he did put together a pretty good year in Cleveland back in 2016. He put together a disastrous year in Washington in 2017. Now, I think the Cleveland year people may go a little overboard on how productive he was. I mean, he was a guy who was on an awful Browns team. He was on a 1-15 Browns team and was kind of force-fed the ball because there's so little talent. So, you know, that helped with the numbers to some extent. But he was an effective player for that Browns team. Then last year was just a brutal year in Washington for Pryor. He did not produce on the field. It seemed like he left a lot of people unhappy off the field, to the point where this actually became a storyline when the Jets and Redskins had joint practices. You know, if there was a storyline, will there be a fight between Pryor and some of his old Washington teammates? So though it was an ugly year in every sense of the word. And I don't know whether Pryor's still going to be a pitch count tonight. I mean, it kind of sounds like he's going to be in the lineup. It would be nice if the Jets got at least a little more of an idea of what he can contribute for this team this year, because I still think it's an open question who the third receiver on this team is. Is it, you know, is it Pryor? Is it going to be Trey McBride? Is somebody else going to emerge? It's, you know, something we got to figure out, and we can at least begin to figure that out tonight once Pryor takes the field. You know, can he produce a little bit? Can he give the Jets some sign of encouragement that he can be a contributor for this team this year? You know, the third receiver behind Nunwa and Anderson. Then I look at the defensive side of the ball, and it's a matter of, can the defense bounce back after a not-so-great performance last week against Washington? And they held the Redskins out of the end zone. They were aided by a penalty, but it was not a great defensive performance. Washington had a lot of success moving the ball, especially against the first team. I mean, the Jets got fortunate a couple times. There was that penalty that went to touchdown off the board. There was the Doug Middleton interception, but that was on a ball that should have been completed. It should have been a nice gain for Washington. So, you have plenty of questions about this defense. And I, you know, I'm not panicking over that performance last week, A, because it's a preseason game, but B, because the Jets were awfully vanilla in that game. And if you watch what the Jets, you look at what the Jets did, there was a lot of conservative calls, lots of zone. I think the concern stems from the fact that they were that vanilla and they struggled to generate a pass rush. I mean, but I think that's something we kind of know. The Jets are going to have to manufacture a pass rush. The way this team is currently constructed, this team, they're not going to make the playoffs. You know, they're not going to have a big year unless Trumaine Johnson puts together like an all-pro type season, because they're going to need to manufacture a pass rush, which means they're going to have to dial up some blitzes, and they're going to need to hope Johnson holds up against the other team's best receiver on an island to compensate for that lack of an elite pass rusher. So we'll have our eyes on that tonight. I think the Jets will probably be a little less vanilla tonight than they were last week. I think they'll get more aggressive defensively, and we'll see whether Johnson can hold up in that scenario. On the same note, if we're talking about a player to watch on defense, a guy who you wonder, can he bounce back from a rough performance? That's got to be Darren Lee. It was an ugly, ugly, ugly second game of the preseason for Lee. He got lost in coverage. He got wiped out on a big run play. He got totally taken out of the play, totally blocked out of the play that went into his gap. He committed a penalty on special teams. You know, if you were looking for encouragement, and that's all you can get in preseason, you're looking for some sign of encouragement. It doesn't necessarily move the needle a whole lot how a player performs in preseason, but if you're looking for some sign of encouragement for Lee, you did not get it at all last week. And I almost kind of expect him to come back and play well, because I've seen this enough times to know that, and Lee's catching a lot of heat from Jets fans, and I think probably deservingly so, because of his performance was pretty concerning. But I've seen this enough to know that, you know, after a guy who's in kind of a make or break year has a brutal preseason game, in many instances they bounce back the next week after, you know, people kind of start writing them off to say, well, this guy's big year and he goes out and plays like that. A lot of instances, the guy comes back and plays well the next week. So I think it's still too early to write Lee off completely. But look, it's still preseason tonight. I'm not going to go totally crazy if he doesn't play well, but I think it would raise the concern level a little bit if he did not go out and have a bounce back game. You know, make a couple big plays against the run. You know, show he can hold up and cover. That's the biggest worry I have with Lee, is that for all of Lee's other faults, I feel like they would be easier to forgive. I feel like they'd be easier to work around if he was better in coverage. He just really has not shown you many instincts for coverage to this point. And, you know, he got lost on a pretty decent completion last week for Washington. The Jets drafted him because of his athleticism as much as anything. And that entails an ability, you know, that implies an ability to stay with tight ends and running backs. And is he athletic enough to run with most tight ends and running backs in this league? Yes. But he has not shown that he's developed the refined skill set needed to actually cover those guys effectively. Look, if it's a race, you know, if it's a one-on-one race, you know, two guys running in a straight line, he's got a shot. He's got a shot against anybody at those two positions on offense. But he hasn't shown that he's a good cover guy yet. In fact, he was one of the most picked-on linebackers in football last year, which is, you know, not great in year two. And so I think that as much as anything is, you know, you'd like to see him show he can cover some guys. You know, that's what you'd like to see as much as anything when it comes to Darren Lee. So you're looking for a bounce back game for him tonight. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. I think the kicking situation has become, it's become intriguing since the Jets waived Cairo Santos earlier this week. So now, I mean, I was presuming Santos was going to be the starter, and he's been hurt all camp, and the Jets waive him, and it's one of those situations that you cannot cut a player while he's hurt unless you come to an injury settlement. So the Jets waited for him to get healthy, and then they waived him, and you know they waive him once he gets healthy, and the statement, the comment that you heard from a reporter was that they didn't get enough of a look at Santos. And I'm sitting there and saying, like, so you cut him when you actually have a chance to get a look at him, which to me suggests that there was some other stuff happening behind the scenes. You know, that's, it doesn't really make sense that you'd waive a guy when you're saying we didn't get enough of a look at him, and then you waive him right at the point you'd start getting a look at him. That tells me that they were looking to get rid of him, and there was other stuff happening that we'll never find out about. That's at least what I'm speculating here, but that's typically what it means. They were just ready to move on. They were frustrated by something there, and I'd be speculating as to what it is, but yeah, I think that's the case, which means that the guy who most of us assume would be the starting kicker, or the kicker, I don't think the Jets were keeping two kickers, is gone. The Jets claimed Jason Myers off waivers. There's been some rumors about Kai Forbath, the veteran kicker, and they have Taylor Bertolle, who has done a good job in camp, done a good job in preseason, who, you know, I don't know whether they lack faith in him. I mean, if it's based on camp and preseason, he's done enough to win that kicking job. Now, that's not always what it comes down to. You may remember last year, by every objective measure, Ross Martin beat Chandler Cannizzaro in that kicking competition in camp. The Jets kept Cannizzaro, and it ended up not being a terrible decision. I mean, Cannizzaro actually had a pretty solid year for the Jets. Not like it really was an awful decision. Did raise some eyebrows, though, as to whether this was really a legitimate camp competition, and if Bertolle does not win the, if he's not the opening day kicker, if he's waived or cut, you kind of wonder if there was anything the guy could have done to win the job. So the kicking competition now with Jason Myers around, there's some intrigue at it. There certainly is. That's another thing to watch in this game. Finally, I just have my eyes on, it's the thing I say always in training camp, always the thing I always say in preseason, injuries. Can the Jets avoid injuries? There are always injuries in training camp. It's part of the game. You guys are still getting themselves into shape to some extent. So you deal with some issues there. It's a physical game. You always lose guys in preseason. But I don't know. It just feels to me like the Jets have lost more guys this year than this has not been your typical training camp in terms of injuries. There have been just a ton of injuries for the Jets. And we named some of the guys earlier, You have Beecham, you have Winters, you have Enunwa, you have Jordan Leggett, you have Steve McClendon, just name after name of guys getting banged up. You talk about Neil Sterling getting hurt in that first preseason game, Trenton Cannon missing some time. It's just name after name after name after name. Got guys missing for the Jets. So the good thing, and there is the one silver lining, is that they really have avoided losing guys for the season. I mean, that's just the worst. I mean, in training camp or the preseason, you lose somebody for the year. It seems like these injuries, at least, will have most of these guys back, if not by the start of the regular season, then soon after the regular season starts. So that's the one silver lining. But the big thing tonight is, and this is especially going to be true tonight, maybe more than other preseason games, and you want to avoid injuries because the starters are going to be playing towards halftime. If not after halftime. Todd Bowles kind of hinted at that the starters are going to see a full half of football at least, and then they may get a series in the third quarter or two. So the Jets need to avoid injury. I mean, and it's not necessarily a skill. I mean, a lot of this stuff is just dumb luck, and the Jets have not had a lot of injury luck in the preseason, in training camp, so hopefully for them, things turn around a little bit tonight. Thank you for listening today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify. Leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. I hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll be back on Monday to break it down.